Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and God save us.
God save us.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand,
remembering God save us.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
I want you to hear what I'm saying.
But there's no time.
No.
Greetings, and welcome again this morning to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. Thank you, our beautiful radio listening audience, for joining us this morning again for another beautiful discussion and broadcast from Imam Shahid Shabazz and those who are joining him, our guest speakers. We welcome you and are thankful to have you this morning and pray that all of you are well and blessed this morning. Today's discussion will be, life is constantly evolving into a higher and eternal life. Life is constantly evolving into a higher and eternal life. And people, we must understand what that means. And we must also be conscious of the fact that of the reality of life. That is in the situation of evolving, not being at a standstill. And let's see what that is about. But people, you must have a will to change. Evolving means to change. Life has grown into a moral and spiritual evolution. Just like we feed our bodies, if we want to evolve into our real spiritual life, we must feed our mind and soul. And this food is spiritual. This is why most people are under the control of evil. They only look for pleasure and satisfaction and carnal things and flesh desires. But Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says in his last book of revelations in the Quran that hearts do find satisfaction in the remembrance of Allah. People, the human heart was created in love and spirit, and the spirit of Allah. Beautiful discussion we have waiting for you this morning, people, as I bring on our speaker, Imam Shahid Shabazz. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, brother. Yes, I recognize your new number today. I thought it was yours as well. It's the only 336 that I recognize. I think that's his new number. Well, I got you.
Yes. All right. I'm very glad. Very humbled to be on the show this morning, first of all. And next of all, we want to thank everyone who's joining us today. You could have been doing something else, but you took the time out to come on the program to join us in trying to make our contribution to bringing humanity back to the worship of the one creator, so we will understand that we will want for our brother what we want for ourselves. We won't be selfish. We won't want all the good for ourselves and not share the good of our creator with our brothers and sisters among humanity. That is the whole purpose of us being created. Everything in creation coexists and works for the good of the whole. This is how we are supposed to be as humans, human beings also. So I will start off with prayer, and then we're going a little deep into the conversation today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. Edina Sorata Mustaqin Sarata Ladin Amta Alehim Brahim Magdubi Alehim Watu Alin. Amen. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kul hu Allahu Ahad Allahu Samad Lam Yalit Walam Yalad Walam Yakul Lahu Kufu Wan Ahad. People, we just said, translated out of the Arabic of the Quran into English. We just said, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher and sustainer of all worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid alone do we seek. We ask Allah, our creator, to show us the straight way, the way of those on whom he have bestowed his favor and his grace, not of those who choose to follow their own will and go astray from the path of their creator, Allah. Amen. Next, people, we just said, say, Allah is one creator, one God. Allah is the eternal. Allah is the one that is the cause of all things that exist in the heavens and the earth. Allah begets not no son, and neither is Allah begotten by any woman, female. And there is nothing that Allah created that could be compared with Allah at any time. Amen. So, people, what we want to start off by saying is this. This is out of the 99, the attributes of Allah. And Allah's Prophet Muhammad, some of the excerpts of his last sermon. Prayers and peace be upon him. Allah, the creator, our creator, people say, remember me, and I shall remember you, and be grateful unto me, and deny not me. Allah, there is no deity, no nothing to be worshipped except Allah. Allah's are the most beautiful names or qualities. Now we want to go down a little bit and say, why Allah created us as human beings. Allah said, oh, humankind, behold, I have created you out of a male and female, and I have made you into nations and tribes so that you might come to know one another. Truly, the most noblest or honorablest of you in the sight of Allah is the one that is the most deeply conscious of obeying Allah. That's so powerful, people. That's so very important for this talk today. And I had something that Allah revealed to me. It stuck with me and stayed on my mind. I want to share it with you briefly. I will take my time. Bear patiently with me, please. You know, people, we're looking at a world right now that's on the brink of a total human annihilation. People, we cannot live an immoral life and at the same time think that we're going to get good results. This is the way the world is now. Most Muslim, Christian, Jews, most people in general, they are living immoral lives. They have no morals, no God conscious, no morals. And they think they go to their religion, they go through their religious rites and all, but then they come back out in the world, and as I read and just read, the Creator said, remember me, I will remember you. They forget the Creator. I'm going to use an example of Muslims. And it's for everybody, really, all people, you should know that Friday is the day of judgment. Friday is the day that we, when we die and we're resurrected from our dead grave, we're going to be resurrected on the day of judgment, and that's Friday. And if you notice, that's when people really get, and we did, I did too, we get to get pumped up to get into immorality, to do immoral things on Friday. The OJs, a singing group, even made a song called Living for the Weekend, because that's when we party hardy. And this is true. And also, Friday is the day that more people in the world are praising the one creator, Allah, the one God, than any other group of people in the world, and that's the Muslims. You have billions of Muslims praising the creator on Friday, because in the Quran, Friday is called Al-Juma, or the gathering of the crowds. Yeah, the gathering of the crowds of human beings and their souls to be judged. And I wanted to say this along with this. It's very important for you people. Do you know that the only way we can turn this world around and stop all of this evil that's destroying our children, destroying us? And it is. Evil is not going to let up. Evil is going to be striving to destroy man, humankind, until the day we die. Evil was given that opportunity by the Creator. He gave him that opportunity to test us with evil and good till the day we die. So people, knowledge and wisdom is the key to fighting evil. Evil knows Allah, the Creator. Evil knows the wisdom of Allah. And evil also knows the power of Allah. So evil knows that if it can get people to forget Allah, people will have no protection from it. Allah says in the Holy Quran, he said, I'm the protector of those who believe in me and show their belief by good intentions and good actions. You see. Now I want to say, people, how you save yourself from this evil in this world and the next life, you must learn humility. I was thinking about how Allah created the human being in the womb of the mother. And Allah said he goes in the Quran and tell you the stages. I won't go through all of them. But Allah said he created the baby in the womb of the mother stage after stage. And he say also as he developed the fetus of that child, that baby to be in the mother's womb, he put certain qualities in that baby. One of the qualities he put in the baby first is feeling. And the feelings came from his love, you see. And also he put feeling in the baby so that once he delivered the baby out of the mother's womb, the baby, what's the first thing the baby do? Start feeling things. Why? So that the baby can begin to learn to identify things. The Creator, when he created, got ready to create Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they was in heaven then. It was spirits of Allah. And he said, once I create man, and I'm going to create a man out of the mud, black mud, sticky clay of the mud. And he said to all the angels and the jinns, he said, when I have fashioned man and duly proportioned him physically and then breathed or inspired into him some of my spirit, I want all of you, jinns and angels, to bow down to man. So the angels, all the angels, they say, well, okay, our Lord, we submit. We bow. But the jinn, Satan, he say, no, I can't do this, Allah. He's talking to his creator now. He said, I can't do this. You created something, a man out of clay, mud? and you created me out of fire. I can't submit to something beneath me. So Allah said, well, then there's no place in my kingdom for you. Get ye out of here. And he was finna destroy him. And his followers, the other jinn, evil spirits, that followed him. But he cried out to Allah. He begged Allah. He said, please, Allah, give me respite to the day you raise the human being up from their dead graves, and I will show you that most of them, they're not going to worship you. They're not going to respect your law, your moral law. They're going to even deny that you created them, and they're going to follow me in my evil to where it's going to seem like I created them rather than you. They're going to love evil more than, and they're not going to love good. They're going to love evil over your goodness. And he said, I'm going to get all of them. He said, I'm going to even change that beautiful nature you created in the human being. What is the beautiful nature Allah created in the human being? The beautiful nature Allah created in the human being is good. It's good nature. Allah said he created the nature of good in every human being. And Allah don't make no mistakes. Allah, when he created his God, this godly nature from him, Allah, in the human being, he created a male, he said female. He didn't say, I created just all males or all females. He created a male and female. Also, Allah said he created everything that he created in pairs that we might receive instructions. And I was thinking about this because the only way you can communicate with you need somebody to communicate with. That's how we learn each other. Allah said he created us as nations and tribes. I just said that we might get to learn each other. So we're different, not because the Creator wants us to hate each other or he wants you to think you're better than somebody because you're different. In any way, our differences are created to subserve us getting to know each other. We was all alike. We wouldn't have no need to get to know one another. So I said this in my conclusion, our spiritual life that our Creator gave us, which is the real life of the human being, was developed. Allah developed the human life in the womb of the mother in humility, and he delivered that baby out of the mother's womb in a state of humility. The baby couldn't do nothing. What do humility mean? It means helplessness. It means that the baby had to totally depend on his mother for everything. It couldn't do anything for itself. And Allah wants us to understand in this world, we need him for everything, every aspect of our life. We can't do without Allah for anything in life. We're just like a baby to Allah. We're helpless against the evil. We're helpless against the forces of evil, seen and unseen, without the help of Allah. We need Allah for food, clothes. Allah provides everything for us. He's our not only creator, but he's our sustainer. He sustains us with the rain, with the sun, the moon, the animals we eat, the food we eat. He sustains us every morning. He put his life back in our body and raised us back up to life again to be tested. Huh? Allah is letting you know, people, that you must humble yourself and realize you're not your own boss. Allah say the fall of mankind, most of mankind, is in that they look upon themselves as self-sufficient. They think, I. That's all you hear people saying, most Muslim, Christian people, period. I did this. I got my degree. I got, this is mine. I, and my. You don't hear we and us. Hardly ever hear we and us. It's I and my. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz. We're out to all the Creator. And as you can see, we have another beautiful discussion today. Life is constantly evolving to a higher and eternal life. And he has begun the discussion in such a most powerful and profound way, people, to get to thinking, to get those minds working, the soul for feeding. Let's hear from you. Let's hear you give us some feedback today. Let us know your thoughts. Yes, indeed. This is your program. Not just the Nam Shahi Shabbat, this is the other Nam to come on. We want all of you to join us. Let's have a beautiful family discussion. That's what it's all about. One family, one human family. So we want to discuss and talk about the reality of our Creator today. And let's see here. I believe we have a few people who have been on here since we've been on. Let's try this number first. It's a 336 number. I'm not sure about it. 336. 293-8284. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay, that's probably someone who's not willing to join the discussion but just wants to listen, and that's fine, people. You're not asked to join the discussion, but we'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments, any questions, please push that number one button on your phone and let us hear from you. And those numbers that show up in the studio, we click on them to make sure that you do want to express, you have something to say. And that's why we click on this number. But again, you don't have to comment or make a comment. Just be a great guest and listener around and enjoy the teaching for today. We have another number here that's been on for a little while, too. And that number is a 419 number, 419-418-4367. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay, as I said, person doesn't want to join the discussion either. I thought they were saying something for a minute there. Anyway, enjoy the program in July. And we will go on to someone else. All right, I see we have our beautiful brother here. And he's from Georgia, and he always joins us. So we're anxious to hear from him. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister and brother?
Very good, brother. Thank you for asking. We hope that you are and your family, as well as the beautiful community of believers, not just Muslim, but all good-hearted and good-soul people down in the Atlanta area.
Alhamdulillah, everybody's good here. That was a very good talk that you gave us, brother. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, sir.
And it takes me to my topic, which is what Allah says about Adam and Satan. There's a close relationship there. And Satan is the avowed enemy of you and me, man. The Arabic word salsa means the dried clay which produces a sound like pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And Hams is the Arabic word for the black mud, which has become so rotten as to be in a fermented state. Masnoon has a double meaning, which is rotten clay, which has become greasy, and clay, which has become molded into a shape. It's clear from the wording of the text that at first the image of man was made of clay from rotten earth, and when it dried up, the soul of Allah was breathed into it. Thus, the Quran positively refutes the Darwinian theory of evolution, that man came into existence after passing through continuous genetic adaptation. It will therefore be a futile attempt, as some modernized commentators have done, to prove that theory after reading the Quran. We have been raised up on the Darwin theory of evolution, that man has is the culmination of all of the species that have come before him, starting with an amoeba, which is a single cell animal that can only be seen under a microscope. And it has grown until the closest thing to man is an ape. But we don't look anything like an ape. We don't look anything like the animals in the creation, because we are not a part of that. We are not a hybrid animal.
That's right.
We are a special creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has called the Khalifa. So we are his vicegerents. We take over when he's not there. We do the work that he tells us to do. Let's move on. Nari Samum means flame of heat, intense heat. This is the explanation of those passages in which it has been stated that jinns have been created from fire. When I have breathed my spirit into him, equals when I have cast a reflection of my divine characteristics on him, this shows that the soul of man implies life, knowledge, power, will, discretion, and other human characteristics combined together. These are in reality a slight reflection of the divine characteristics that have been cast on the human body, which was originally created from dry clay.
That's right.
This divine impression on the human body, which has raised man to the position of the vicegerent of Allah and made him that worthy being before whom angels and everything should bow down. As a matter of fact, the source of each characteristic is one divine characteristic and is born by a tradition which states, Allah divided mercy into 100 parts. Then he reserved 99 parts for himself and sent down the remaining one part to the earth. It is because of that one part that the creatures show mercy to one another. So much so that an animal refrains from placing its hoof on its young one. In this connection, one has to be on strict guard against the notion that the possession of a part of any divine characteristic amounts to the possession of a part of Godhead. A Godhead is absolutely beyond the reach of each and every creation. As it relates to the quote from the verse that Brother Shahid Shabazz read, as it relates to that quote, it said, you led me to error. That means that the shaitan said, you led me to error. That means you have misled me by commanding me to bow down before a creature who is inferior to me. So Shaitan accuses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of tricking him by telling him to bow down to a creature that he felt was less than him, because he was made from fire and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from a black sticky mud.
That's right.
Therefore, I will now mislead them and disobey thee. In other words, Iblis meant, I will make the worldly life, its enjoyment, and its temporary benefits so tempting for man that he will forget his responsibilities as vicegerent of Allah and that he should have to render his account in the hereafter. They will also forget thee and will disobey thee, even though they will profess to remember thee. Allah says, here is the path that leads straight to me. Over my true servants, you will be able to exercise no power. Your power will be confined to the erring ones, those who choose to follow you. Verse 42 This is in a chapter called Hijra, chapter 15, verse 42, also may have another meaning. It says, you will have no power over my servants to force them to disobey me. However, we will give freedom of action to those who will willingly or deliberately follow you, and we will not forcibly prevent them from your way if they intend to follow you. So we have complete control of our will to believe or disbelieve, to obey or disobey Allah. This passage means this. When Satan challenged that he would tempt people from the way of Allah by making this worldly life very tempting to them, Allah accepted his challenge. However, Allah made it clear to him that he was being allowed only to mislead people with temptation, but was not being given any power to force them to deviate from the right way.
That's right.
Satan clarified that his challenge did not apply to those people whom Allah will choose for himself.
That's right.
And this exception might have led to a misunderstanding that Allah may choose any people for himself to keep them safe and secure from the reach of Satan. Allah clarified it, saying, only that person will follow you who of himself will deviate from the right way. Meaning that person who will not deviate from the right way will not follow you.
That's right.
That's our servant, whom we will choose for ourselves. Allah further says, surely hell is the promised place for all of them.
That's right.
In chapter Hijra, verse 43. In order to comprehend the purpose for which the story of Prophet Adam and Satan has been related here, we should keep in mind the context in which this has occurred. In the preceding verses 1 to 25, it has been stated that the disbelievers were following the way of change that would lead them to hell. The story had been related to warn them that the ways they were following were the ways of Satan, their eternal enemy. You should realize the consequences of following Satan, who has enticed you in his snare and is leading you to the lowest depths of degradation because of his enmity, hatred, and envy.
That's right.
In contrast to this, our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, is doing his utmost to free you from his snare and lead you to the height of success, which as a man you should desire to achieve. However, it is a pity that you are regarding your enemy, Satan, as your friend, and your friend, our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, as your enemy. You know, I have three children, teenagers, now all of them, and in the morning I wake them up with Salatul Fajr, and they don't get up when I first call them. I have to tell them, stop laying there listening to the shaitan tell you not to pray, and get
That's
up
right.
and pray. I'm going to stop there for now. Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We appreciate the tafsir, the understanding that you have given us, Brother Imam Shabazz, continuing on the story, because the story of this will let people know the only chance that they have on this earth not to go to a place called the hell, fire. This is no game. This is no joke. I remember from one scholar, not need to call his name, but he was one of the best scholars of Islam in the 21st century. But he said that this world, Almighty Allah, first of all, say through his prophet Muhammad, he revealed to us that this world is a prison for the sincere and true servants of Allah. And his prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said this material world is dunya, that word dunya, material world is a paradise for those who reject faith in the unseen. See, when people reject faith in the unseen, they're automatically rejecting the Creator. You can't see the Creator. He's spiritual. But he's right there in front of you all the time. He's all around you. He's above you, below you, all around you, all the time. He's omnipresent. He's never absent at any time or any place. And he hears and knows all things. So I was sharing with someone the other day, we can't even, if we got bad intentions to do something bad, or if we got good intentions to do something good, he know about your bad or good intention before you even become conscious of it. That's how powerful our Creator is. And I love the way the brother stated that the Creator kept 99% of his mercy for himself, and he gave us the other one. And he said, along with that, Allah, he said that when he decreed his creation in the heavens and the earth, that he ordained or decreed that his mercy prevail over his wrath. So Allah's mercy, he, like the brother said, that 99% of mercy, that means that Allah is most merciful. People are merciful. We're merciful on each other sometimes. But Allah is most merciful on his creatures all the time. So we should be grateful to our Creator for being merciful on us when we continuously go against his will. We continuously do wrong. And knowing what we're doing, Allah still forgives us. If we continue, I have done wrong, not intentionally, but over and over again, making the same mistakes. And Allah says this here, people, this is why you have no excuse not to be worshiping your Creator, Allah. Allah says, people, if they have sincere faith in his unseen reality, know that even though they don't see him, he see them at all times. He say, if they come to him after they've sinned, he say, even if they've sinned and their sin circumferences the whole earth. In other words, it goes around the whole earth. That's how many sins they got. He said, if they come to him in sincere repentance and they change from that bad actions that they're doing, he said he will bring them forgiveness as much as they have sinned. Now listen to this Creator here. He don't want us to destroy ourselves. He do everything that our Creator possibly could do to help us, to save us from our own evil. And as the Imam and I talk about a lot, you heard the story. The Creator, he didn't say Allah, our Creator. This is what he said in my brief comments right here. He said all the good that happens to people down here on earth come from him up on high. Yes, from Allah, who's all good. And he said, all the evil that happened to us down here in the valley of the shadow of death, it comes from our own free will of the human being. And as the Imam said, the Creator don't force you to do good, and he haven't given Satan or the devil the power to force you to do evil or wrong. It's totally on the human being. Your choice to do good or your choice to do evil is your own personal choice. And Allah said in this way, and I'm through, he says it in this way in the Quran. I love it. He said every person's fate is fastened around their own neck. Meaning this, that whether you get evil in this world and evil in the hellfire in the next life, or you get his goodness that he got for you here and his goodness he got for you in his eternal dinner, heaven and the hereafter, it's your choice. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame nobody else. It's all on you as an individual worshiper of your Creator alone. And he said he brought us into this world bare and alone with nothing. And he said, we will leave this world bare and alone with nothing. You brought nothing here. You take nothing with you. And most Muslims and most Christians and people act like these material things they're going to keep forever. In fact, most of the people act like they're going to be around here forever, even though they know they're going to die. But they try, they just shut that out, the Creator say, most people, and just live their life like, you know, I'm planning 10 years down the road, I'm going to have me a home. I'm planning 20 years down the road, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And Allah even say, this is my conclusion, he say, people plan, we as human beings, we plan to do things. He also say, we propose to do things. But he say, he's the one to determine the outcome of our plan and whatever we propose to do. He's the one to finally bring about the outcome, not us. So we see when we plan to do things and we forget our Creator, the outcome is always what? Negative, evil, and destructive. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum asalam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast. I'll be man to each of us. We out to all the Creator. And as you can see, we have again the most powerful and profound discussion, people, about the life that we're living here. And many, for many of us, we've never even heard this information before. So it should really put a spark into our hearts and souls when we hear it, that we might understand that we are going constantly more and more astray from Allah's will and way of life, the life that Allah created us to live. When we strive to live in the life of the world, this worldly life, and we can see right before our eyes the consequences that it's bringing to us by doing as Seth wants us to do, instead of following the ways of the law as a danger for us, which leads us to constantly evolve into a higher and eternal life. And we should be focused on our eternal life. He's supposed to teach us strong, they're teaching heavy. We should listen carefully to what they're saying, because it's a matter of life or death. That's how important it is. And so let's see if we might have, again, try some of our other guests that's on here to see if they would like to have a word to say at this time. We will try the 419-418-4367. We do come around every now and then to see if you might have a word of something to say, now that you've been listening to the teachers thus far in the discussion. If you have anything to say, we'd love to hear from you. Any comments, any questions? Okay, seems like this person still wants to listen. And again, do we have another listener? 336-293-8284. This person also seems to still want to listen. So, yes, thank you for joining us and for listening. And we praise the Lord that you are receiving something from some discussion that is touching your heart and giving you more to refresh your life and to live a better life each day, because we're striving for it each day. We start to do better than we did the day before. And now we will give our Imam from Georgia, Imam Abdul Kareem, we will give him a chance to give us some more of his beautiful knowledge that he's brought to us today. Imam Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam.
There's only one way of salvation, and that is the way of obedience to Allah. If you discard this way, every other way will be a way of Satan, which will take you directly to hell. Then this story is meant to bring home to them in this fact. You yourselves are responsible for your wrong deeds and not Satan.
That's right.
The most he can do is to tempt you from the obedience of Allah and hold temptations before you.
That's right.
It is therefore your own concern and responsibility to be tempted or not to be tempted by Satan. Allah says, there are seven gates in it. and to each gate a portion of them has been allotted. This is also in chapter Al-Hijr, chapter 15, verse 44. Sinners will be divided into different groups in accordance with their different sins for their entry into hell from the seven different gates specified for each different sin.
That's right.
The group of atheists shall enter into hell by one of the seven gates specified for their group.
That's right.
Likewise, idol worshippers, hypocrites, self-seekers, sensualists, tyrants, propagandists, and leaders of disbelief, etc., shall each enter into hell through the gate specified for their group.
That's right.
Allah says, recall the time when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to appoint a vicegerent on the earth. They humbly inquired, are you going to appoint such a one as will cause disorder and shed blood on the earth? We are already engaged in hymning your praises and hallowing your name. Allah replied, I know what you do not know. After this, he taught Adam the names of all things. Then he set these before the angels and asked, tell me the names of these things, if you are right in thinking that the appointment of a vicegerent will cause disorder. They replied, glory be to you. You alone are free from defect. We possess only that much knowledge which you have given us.
That's
indeed,
right.
You alone are all-knowing and all-wise. Then Allah said to Adam, tell them the names of these things. When Adam told them the names of all those things, Allah declared, did I not tell you that I know those truths about the earth and the heavens which are hidden from you?
That's
I know
right.
what you disclose and what you hide. This is in the chapter of the Kaum, Baqarah, verses 30 to 33. In the foregoing verses, man has been asked to submit to Allah because he is his creator and sustainer.
That's
Allah
right.
alone has power over life and death. And because
yes, sir.
Allah is the master and ruler of the universe in which he lives, in these verses he has been urged to submit to Allah because he is his vicegerent on the earth. As such, he is not only bound to serve Allah, but also to obey and act according to the guidance sent down by Allah.
Yes.
For if he did not do so and yielded to the temptations of Satan, his eternal enemy, he would be guilty of the worst crime of rebellion against Allah and meet with evil consequences. Incidentally, the Quran here throws light on the truth about man and his correct position in the universe and presents this chapter of human history which man could not have known in any other way.
That's right.
The important results that this chapter yields are far more precious than the results which man tries to obtain by excavating miscellaneous bones from the earth and joining them together by theory and guesswork. Angels are not mere abstract powers without personality. They are beings with personalities and are, so to speak, the agents of Allah, who
That's
employs
right.
them for the administration of his kingdom.
Yes.
Ignorant people mistook them for associates in a Godhead. Others
That's
thought
right.
that they were created by to Allah and started to worship them as deities. The Khalifa is one who exercised the delegated powers on behalf of another as his vicegerent. Thus, Khalifa is not the master, but is the deputy of the master. His powers are not his own, but delegated to him by the real master. He has therefore no right to have his own will, but he is there to fulfill the will of the delegating authority.
That's
it
right.
It would be dishonest and treason if he assumed sovereign powers or used them according to his own whim.
That's right.
Or if he acknowledged another as his sovereign and submitted to his will.
That's right.
Are you going to appoint such a one as will cause disorder and shed blood on the earth? This was not an objection, but a question raised by the angels. The angels know that they dare not object to any scheme of Allah. From the word Khalifa, they had understood that the one who was about to be created was going to be entrusted with some powers, but they could not understand how a self-governing creature could fit into the undemocratic system of the universe.
They also
could not understand how part of the universe in which someone was entrusted with independence could be free from disorder. By this, the angels did not mean to say that they should be entrusted with the vicegerency because they deserved it. They simply meant to say, we are carrying out orders obediently, faithfully, and earnestly, and are keeping the whole universe clean and in order, and sing hymns of your praise and sanctify you as your humble servant. Therefore, we are unable to understand what need there is then for a vicegerent. The word tasbih has a double meaning. It means to sanctify as well as to work earnestly and do one's utmost. Similarly, tasbih also mentions both to sanctify and to purify. This was the reply to the second doubt of the angels. You cannot understand the need and wisdom of the appointment of a vicegerent as I do. Your services do not suffice for the purpose that I have in view.
That's right.
I want something more than the services you have mentioned.
That's right.
That is why I want to create a being on the earth and endow him with some powers.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole system of this universe that none of us know anything about.
That's right.
That has been made clear in the tafsir of the words that Allah left us with. And in order for us to understand these words, we have to be patient and diligent in our search for the truth.
That's correct.
Because it's here.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Beautiful brother, Imam Shabazz. Very beautiful. As you was talking, I wasn't even conscious of this world. I was just conscious of the hereafter. And so beautiful, the Quran. I mean, it takes you out of this world because this world itself is just a test. It's an illusion. It's not real. Nothing that comes and go is real. And Allah, the Almighty, say that all that's with us down here as human beings on earth, he said, all this with us will soon pass away. But Allah said, all that's with him in his world, eternal world, will last forever. And Allah says this too about Satan and himself. Allah says in the Quran, his beautiful clear book of revelations for all people, he say this. He says what the Imam said. He says Satan calls the human being to the temptations of this world. And Allah say the root of all evil is the love of the things of this world, starting with yourself, your flesh. Okay? We've heard the saying, our worst is enemy is ourselves. Well, that's why. Because ourself is the one that make the choice whether we do good or evil. That's what me and the Imam said at first. And that's in all revelations, because the Holy Quran, a lot of ignorant people in the world, they don't even want to accept the final revelation. They don't mean the only revelation. It means that Almighty Allah, the all-knowing creator, the all-wise creator of the heavens and the earth, he revealed his last and final revelations to humankind. Why did he do this to Prophet Muhammad Mustafa ibn Abdullah, prayers and peace be upon him, 1400 and some years ago, for all the world? The world was in the shape it's in now. The majority of people were in spiritual darkness. They didn't even know the Creator. And they had took creation, and we're worshiping creation instead of the creator who created creation. For instance, in the Kaaba, I'm looking at the picture of Mecca now, big picture I got on the wall. The Kaaba in the center over there, it represents the unity of the worship of all people under the one creator who created them all, Allah. Allah means one creator. And they had 1,400-some years ago in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, they had a god for every day of the year. They had a god, a false god, idol god. It was idolatry. So the whole world was in idolatry. 1,430-some years ago when Prophet Muhammad was living, and history repeats itself. The world has returned back to idolatry. Most people worship idols rather than an idol is what you can see. But the creator, he's spiritual. His spirituality, you can't see spirituality in the material world. The material world is an idol. It ain't even real. It's a one big idol, and everything in it is nothing but idols. Idols are something false. You see now, and it fades away. I'm going to give you an example. Prophet Abraham, most people know about him. Abu, we call him Abu, Father Abraham, because he's the one that founded for the three largest major religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. He's the one that established monotheism and worship of the Creator. What is monotheism? It's the oneness in the worship of the Creator for all people, that there's no Creator but one that governs and rules the heavens and the earth, and that all people were created by, and that sustains all people, and he don't come and pass away. He's always existed and will always exist when all the things he created passes away. Now, we want to go back up here a little bit and go to something I want you all to understand seriously, because it's the most serious thing that in your life. When the Almighty Allah created the heavens and the earth, he created on earth, the earth, he created everything good. It was beautiful. And it was all good. And then, after he created the heavens and the earth, he asked the archangel Jibril. I stand to be corrected too, Brother Man. He said to the angel, archangel Jibril, or Gabriel, he said, the archangel Jibril said to Allah, his Lord, he said, oh, Lord, how can anybody go wrong in a world like that down there? It won't go wrong down there. It was all good. Beautiful. Okay? And then in an instant, Allah showed the angel Jibril the world after he had put Satan down here. And you know what the angel Jibril said to our creator, Allah? He said, oh, Allah, how can anybody go right? How can anybody do right in a world like that? And we're living in that world he talking about. So, people, I want to say this right here. It's very important. Allah's prophet Muhammad taught us, the last prophet for all people. He fulfilled the mission of all the prophets and messengers. Peace be upon them all. He said, on the day of resurrection and judgment, when we are standing in line to be judged, he say, out of every group, it's going to be like groups of thousands of people. Like one line right here with 1,000 people, another group with 1,000 people. And Allah, the Creator, revealed to his prophet Muhammad that only one person out of every 1,000 of those groups going to be able to be blessed to come back into his heaven, and the other 999, they going straight to hell with the Satan. And then, I know you're wondering, it was wondered why all these people, 999 out of every 1,000, there won't be one that obeyed Allah And then for the Muslims, this right here is what I want to bring to you all, because we're supposed to be leaders in faith for every other people. Allah said, they said, what did they just do all wrong? They didn't do no right, the other 999? Allah said, no, that's not it. Allah, the Creator, said, no, that's not why they're going to hell. Allah say they're going to hell. He say, in fact, there were many, many, many Muslims, starting with them, Christians too, Jews, but mostly Muslims. He say they made their prayers on time. He said they gave in zakat and charity, helping other people. He said they fast during the holy month of Ramadan. They made hajj. All the things that he obligated them to do, they did. Then it was wondered by the people, well, why is it, you know, that 999 of them going out of 1,000 going to hell? Allah say, because everything they did, they didn't do it feasibly a lot to please me. They did it for self-glorification. They wanted people to speak well of them. So people, your worstest enemy is self-pride. That's what got Satan put out of the kingdom of Allah, self-pride. What did he say? I. That's why that word I is dangerous. He said, I can't submit. I can't submit to something you created beneath me. So people, if you're going to serve Allah, you can't have no I. It ain't no I. I told a sister yesterday, last night I was talking to, we was talking about prayer and standing prayer to Almighty Allah at all times. And I said that because it ain't going to be but one out of 1,000 going to heaven, boy, that's I want to be one of them ones. So you got to put in the work if you're going to be that one of them one out of that 1,000. And I said that I ask Almighty Allah, our Creator, to protect me from my own following my own will and let His will be done in my life. And don't let my will interfere. If you see it, if my will start to interfere, let me catch it quickly and don't follow my will and continue to follow your will until I die. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, this is my friend. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And today's discussion, as you see, is life is constantly evolving into a higher and eternal life. Yes. And today, our beautiful Imam Shahid Shabazz, and also our guest today, Imam Abdul Kareem from Georgia. They are giving us a beautiful, beautiful, profound discussion as to why and how we are evolving into a higher and eternal life, and why we should be, if we're not, we should be evolving into a higher and eternal life, people. It's very important that we study Quran, that we understand what we're studying and what we're hearing, and that we strive to apply it to our lives daily to grow. That's how we evolve. Evolve means growing. Continue to elevating ourselves higher and higher, where into the knowledge and understanding and wisdom of our Creator, and not through just hearing it and speaking it and knowing it, but living it, living the way.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we want to remember the most important thing is to live that life so that others might see in you the life that they
That's
should
right.
be living, that they were straight, and to perhaps they
That's
would
right.
turn back and change their way. The prophet was the example because he lived the way that Allah has created us all to live. He lived the example
That's
of
right.
Allah's will.
Yes, he did.
So therefore, he changed me. Many people changed their lives because of seeing how he lived his life. And we are
sure
supposed
did.
To be the example of how the prophet lived his life, how Allah has created us to live our lives. And we too. People should see us and want to change into a better way.
That's
of life,
right.
And to live
yes.
us. And so people, we pray that you are receiving and understanding what you're hearing today, and that you will be applying it to your life. And if there's anyone out in the audience, anyone who is listening who would like to have something to say at this time, please push the number one button on your phone so that your number will show up in our studio, and we would love to hear from you. And now I will give you the heavy man Green now to give some more information to you from his great wisdom and knowledge.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
You know, one of the problems that man has is that he can't see himself submitting to another man or to another, even if that man or that one is Allah. They can't see themselves as being the slave servant of anything or anybody. And this hinders them, even though they do all those things that you said. They pay zakat, they pray, they fast. But they have not subjected themselves to their real status. I mean, how can a guy like Jeff Bezos, who is the president and owner of Amazon, who is worth $140-something billion, how can he call himself a slave and really feel it in his heart and have fear of anything? And we must fear Allah. And that's the way that we become obedient to Allah, by fearing to hurt him. It's just like our mother. We fear saying something that will embarrass our mother. We fear of doing something that our mother would hate and dislike. And we should have that same type of fear. It's called khushu', that same type of fear and awe for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. That story that you were telling, I heard it a little bit differently. I heard it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jannah, the paradise, and he sent Jibril to go and look into the paradise and give a report of what he saw. And Jibril did as he was told and came back, and he reported to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the man will love this place. He would do everything that he possibly could do to come to this place. Then he put some obstacles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some obstacles around the Jannah. And he sent Jibril back again. And Jibril came and reported to him and said, the man will never be able to reach the Jannah if he has to go through all of those things that you want him to go through in order to be able to make it to the Jannah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the Jahannam, the hell. And he sent Jibril to go and look at it and come back and report to him what he saw. And Jibril did it, he was told, and came back and said that the man will never come here. He will hate this place and never come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of things around the Jannah, around the Jahannam rather. And he sent Jibril back again and told him to come back and report to me what you saw. And Jibril did as he was told and came back and reported that the man will never be able to avoid coming to this place because of the temptations that you have put around it. And we know what those temptations are. They're not all the same for all the people, but all of us can identify with them.
That's right.
But it's quite difficult for one to appreciate fully the details of the origin of man's creation. We
That's
cannot
right.
fully grasp how man was created out of the elements drawn from the earth, how he was given a form, and a well-proportioned one at that, and how
That's
Allah
right.
spirit was breathed into him. However, it is quite clear that the story of man's creation as stated in the Quran is quite different from Darwinism. I remember growing up as a young boy, and the first time I heard about the Darwin theory of evolution, I believed it. I thought that when you look at a gorilla or I look at an ape, that's my ancestor.
Exactly.
But that's a lie.
Yes, it is.
We are a special creation.
Yes.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted everything to be in us that was in the universe.
That's right.
And so it had to be made from black mud. Because black
right.
is the absorption of all color.
Sure is.
It couldn't be from white mud, because mud is absence of all color.
Sure is.
And everything has color. And so if you want purple or blue or red, you have to go into the black to get it out.
You sure do.
So it had to be from a black mud.
Yes, sir.
However, it is quite clear that the story of man's creation as stated in the Quran is quite different from Darwinism. According to this theoretical doctrine, the evolution of man has taken place from a non-human and semi-human state by a continuous process of elimination, selection, and adaptation. In this, there is no line of separation to denote the end of the non-human state and the beginning of the species of man as such. On the contrary, the Quran says that man started his life as man, that in the entire history, he has absolutely no connection whatsoever with any non-human state. Allah created him as man from the very first day of his life on the earth and endowed him with wisdom and enlightenment from the very start of his life.
That's right.
Two points of view of the story of man lead to two opposite conceptions in regard to man. The adoption of the Darwinian concept reduces man to one of the species of animals. Therefore, all the principles of human life, including the moral principles, will be based on the principles governing animal life. And
that's
any
all.
Animal-like behavior of his will be regarded as natural. And the only difference between human beings and animals will be the ability of the former to make use of instruments for the provision of their needs, necessities, and luxuries. On the contrary, the adoption of the divine concept raises him from the low position of animal to the high position of man, Allah's noblest creation. That he is no longer a mere talking animal, but the vicegerent of Allah on this earth.
Onion powder, it's in the green box.
Hello?
Sister, we can hear you.
No, excuse me, please. There is interference coming from somewhere. I'm sorry, but I cannot locate where it is. But, yes, I do hear it, too. Oh, I see. I still have an opening. I didn't realize. I have someone opened on here. I will close them now. My apologies for that. I already closed up everyone who was not talking.
Then I'll continue. Then what will distinguish him from all other creatures will not be his faculty of speech and his social life, but his moral responsibilities and the trust of the power delegated to him by Allah and his accountability for these to him.
That's
this
right.
This will change man's entire outlook about his life on this earth and
will
sure demand will. A different philosophy of life and system of morality, law, and civilization.
Yes.
Then man will, of his own accord, look upwards in search of the principles
yes.
of life and not backwards and downwards.
That's right.
Now, let us consider an objection to the divine conception of man, howsoever high-sounding this may be from the moral and psychological points of view. How can we reject the Darwinian conception merely on this account? In answer to this, we put a counter question. Has the Darwinian theory of the origin of the species been scientifically proven? Only those people who have a casual knowledge of science may be suffering from this misunderstanding that the theory of evolution has been scientifically proven to be true. However, the majority of the scientists know that it is merely a theory, in
That's
spite
all.
Of its high-sounding technical terms.
That's right.
And that the arguments in favor of this are not conclusive, but merely
That's right.
theoretical.
That's all.
The most that can be said in this regard is that both theories of the creation of the species may be equally possible. This is the challenge that was given by Satan to Allah. It means, during the respite thou hast granted me till the day of resurrection, I will exert my utmost to show that man does not deserve the superiority thou hast bestowed upon him over me.
That's right.
I will show how ungrateful, thankless, and disloyal he is. The respite that was asked by Satan and granted by Allah was not merely for a time, but also for an opportunity to do what he intended to do. What he meant was that he should be given the opportunity for exploiting man's weaknesses to prove that he was unfit for the vicegerency. Allah granted his request, and this has been elaborated in chapter Al-Isra, verses 61 to 65. According to this, Allah granted leave to Satan to do whatever he liked to mislead Adam and his offspring from the right way.
That's right.
He was allowed to practice whatever devices he thought to misguide man. In short, all the ways would remain open for him to mislead man with this condition. Indeed, you should have no power over my servant. This is in chapter Al-Isra, chapter verse 65. This means you will be allowed to make attempts to involve them in misunderstandings and allure them by false hope and by making evil look fair to them.
That's
to
right.
Invite them to evil ways by temptation, lust, and vain hopes. But
That's
you
right.
should neither any power you should have neither any power to force them to your ways, nor to prevent them from following the right way if they intend to follow it. The same thing has been stated in other places. When on the day of resurrection, the same thing has been stated in, when on the day of resurrection, Allah will pass his judgment on his followers. Satan will say to them, I had no power to force you to follow me. The only thing I did was to invite you to my way. Therefore, do not blame me now, but blame yourselves. Now let us consider the charge of Satan against Allah. Thou hast involved me in deviation. What he meant was this. You are responsible for my deviation, for you commanded me to bow down before Adam, who is inferior to me in position. As this has injured my self-respect, I have disobeyed you. It is obvious that Satan desired that Allah ought not to have exposed the feelings of pride and rebellion he was nurturing in his heart, but ought to have let him go unchecked on the way he was going. As this charge was absurd, Allah did not take any notice of it. I mean, it's amazing that the arrogance of the shaitan, that he would think that he can decide for himself what creation of Allah is greater or lesser than himself. Allah created one from one thing and created man from another thing. And maybe he created other things from other things. But all of the things that Allah created came from non-existence.
Sure did.
and he brought them into existence.
Yes.
So how can anyone be so arrogant and so foolish as to believe that they can decide who is better than the next?
Exactly.
And that's the problem of racism in America and in the world today.
Sure is.
These people who have money, who have power,
yes,
they think that they are the favorite people of Allah, that God loves them more than us, the poor.
Sure do.
The ignorant, the uneducated.
That's right.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed them. He took a man who couldn't read or write and told him, read.
Sure did.
And he told him to memorize, and he put the words in his mouth, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said those words, just
That's
as
right.
he was told to say. And so how can anybody compare with that? How can anybody say I'm better than you because of this or because of that?
Right.
This is a foolish position to take.
Yes, it is.
A foolhardy position to take, and a dangerous one, because a lot of people have been hurt. A lot of people have been destroyed.
Sure have.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you very much, Imam. Good, Uncle Hose.
Yes, you're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Tabas, Reality of the Creator. And we pray that you're enjoying yourself this morning. You're receiving much profound wisdom and knowledge that you can apply to your life and your growth as you are evolving into a higher and eternal life. We pray that we're giving you the information and knowledge that you need to help you on this on your travels through this world. We're talking about the misbelievers, and what we understand now here is that the misbelievers are the ones who will follow the ways of Satan. And these ways are unstable ways. They are constantly changing and full of confusion, doubt, and insecurity for people. Be careful of which direction you take in your life here. Allah says the life of this world is alluring to those who reject faith, and they make mockery of those who believe. Man was created for struggle. Don't think that you're supposed to live in this world without struggling. That's what a lot of people want you to think. But man was created for struggles. But Allah does not place on us a burden greater than we can bear. He says to man, oh, do you think that we will enter the garden of bliss without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? So the evolving into eternal life is not an easy one. It is not.
No, it's not.
Hardship that will evolve into our eternal life.
That's right.
You should understand that eternal life is the life and the better life, and you will find much more happiness and peace in your eternal life than you could ever imagine having here on earth. Oh, and now I give you Imam Shahid Shabbat.
Thank you very much. Been enjoying you and the brother, Imam. One of the things that I was thinking about as you was talking is this, is that, I often use this metaphor of myself being like a glass of water. And, when that glass of water get full, if you try to pour any more water in there, then it's going to spill out. And I'm using this as an analogy to say, when people get so full of themselves, pride, me, I'm better than he, I'm better than she, then they can no longer receive any more of Allah's knowledge or wisdom because they think they know it all. They're full of themselves. And Allah said they're too full of themselves to have any room in their heart for their brother, just like the ma'am said, especially the so-called rich and so-called formal educated people. And even the racism went to this extent. And this was very important because it says, Imam, and I stand to be corrected, that when Allah created Satan, he was like, as a jinn, he created him out of fire, and he was very attractive, you know, very attractive. And, you know, you see a fire, you're going to be attracted to that fire. But Allah, the creator, I don't want to lose the point. He say this right here. This is very important. He say he created man and woman in the earth, from the earth, and put us down here on earth to test our faith with good and evil, to see what? To see which of us would be what? Best in our conduct. So as the man was saying, what is the most important thing that people should be concerned about right now today that's almost destroyed, that's destroying almost the whole human race, and it have too? It's a morality. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said righteousness is good morality. You see, so only good morality will save us from our own sin and evil and the evils of this evil, ungodly world of temptation of Satan. And Allah says that.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay, well, I want to say this one thing in that won't even take a minute. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said, people, the last prophet sent to all people, mankind, he said, Allah, the creator, say, that you will know a true believer in Almighty God Allah when you see them, not when you hear them, but when you see them, they will remind you of Allah because of the qualities of Allah that they have accepted his will as their will. And so their qualities is not a human quality, they are spiritual qualities of the Creator. I will let the Imam take it from there. From Georgia.
You have 2 minutes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
In chapter Al Araf, Allah says, then Satan tempted them so that he might reveal to them their shameful parts, which had been hidden from each other. I'm not going to read all of it, but I wanted to highlight this part. In this story that I just had read an introduction to in the Quran, brought light to the following important fact. The feelings of shyness and modesty that people have are natural and instinctive. Their first expression is the natural shyness one feels in exposing one's private parts before anyone else.
That's right.
The Quran tells us that this shyness has not been artificially created in man by the evolution of civilization, nor has it been acquired by him,
as
has been experienced by some disciples of Satan. This is
We have one minute, brother, so I just want to make a prayer. And thank you, and you can continue that on the next show.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to say there's no creator but one. This creator, he created not only life, but he also sustains all life, people. He say he is the protector from evil of those who submit their will to his will. They don't have a will no more. He said, but those who reject faith in his will and want to do what they want to do, they don't have no protection from evil at all. So we ask Allah, the Creator, to protect all of the righteous people who have good intentions to see this world a better place for all people and not just for themselves and for the people that they like. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening.
Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. You have been listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. We ask you to do it again next Sunday at the same time as we bring to you another beautiful discussion from Imam Shahid Shabbat. And until then, have a great day. And have a blessed day.